Today, we begin the Great 100 Days. As we continue to recover some of the oldest practices of our tradition, we find ourselves once more at the beginning of what Christians observed for the first 6 centuries of the Jesus movement as the Great 100 Days of Lent and Easter. The 100 days begin today, Transfiguration Sunday, and take us through the day of Pentecost. In the early centuries of Christianity, congregations embarked upon the first half of the Great 100 Days, what we call Lent, as a community retreat. The community would gather week by week and discern together what in their common life was in right alignment and what had become out of alignment, identifying the places together where spiritual chiropractic, if you will, was called for. As last year, I invite you to join me in observing Lent in this way, as our ancestors did, asking ourselves, where are we at St. Paul's Key West in alignment with our mission? And where are we perhaps out of alignment and in need of adjustment? And I invite you to observe Lent this way as an individual Jesus follower. Where is your life in Christ in alignment? And where are adjustments called for so that you may continue to grow up into the full measure of Christ? Christian maturity is what we are called to. All of us, as baptized people, as a community, and as individuals. What practices are forming us more and more into the full measure of Christ? And what practices might be hindering that growth? This kind of serious community assessment and individual assessment is what Lent is really about. Lent is not about removing things that bring us life and joy, not about giving up things that exist kind of on the surface of our life, like ice cream and chocolate. Rather, it's about removing things that hinder our life and joy, about identifying and letting go of things which deep down hold a place and which no longer serve. Things that keep us off course, out of alignment. Things like resentments and old grudges, and things like old assessments of ourselves that no longer hold true, and which, if we continue to hold them, will stunt our growth. Harsh words from a parent or authority figure in childhood that continue to hobble us up, wondering almost constantly, is that really true about me? Do they really know about me more than God, in whose image I am made, knows about me? Energy draining fears of what others may think of us if we move forward into God's future for us and begin to take our place in the world differently. That is what Lent is about. That is what Lent is for, removing these impediments to our growth, our life, our joy, The season of Lent takes its name from an old English word, lengthen, meaning lengthen, as in a lengthening of daylight, daytime, an increase of light. Over time, this was shortened in Middle English to lente, which became a synonym for springtime. As the days grow longer for us here in the Northern Hemisphere, what else needs to increase in our life together and in our lives as individuals? What needs to grow, to be nurtured, to be tended perhaps more closely? This is the work before us as we move through this first half of the Great 100 Days as a community retreat, as a community on this discerning and retreat, as we prepare as a congregation and as individuals for the great feast of Easter. The Great 100 Days begin with Transfiguration Sunday. As we have heard in our gospel from Matthew, 6 days after Peter has declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up a high mountain. Its location is not disclosed. Its name is not given. It's a thing in Judaism for a leader to go up a mountain. Moses did it too, as we heard a few minutes ago. Upon that high mountain, Matthew says, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Have you ever wondered about this? Does something change about Jesus on that high, unnamed, holy mountain? Or did something change about Peter, James, and John? Or both? I wonder if context might have made the difference. Down the mountain, busy with feeding people and healing people and teaching people by the thousands, Peter, James, and John were probably in Jesus' company most of the hours of every day. They might have been so busy working alongside him that they never looked at him, never focused upon him. Busy, 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 doing work that's really good and important, but so busy, they didn't stop to ponder the mystery, the power, the reality of Christ in their midst. Up on a high mountain, they could focus their attention on the one whom Peter just 6 days before had declared to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He knew the truth. And on this high mountain, he experienced it in a transformative, transfiguring way. This is also part of our work in Lent. As we are gathered here, about 12 feet above sea level, I'm told, you may notice that mountains are rather scarce. Even if we go to the Cemetery Hill, it's only 5 feet higher. As we are gathered here, maybe with mountains in short supply, another geographic feature might be more suitable for us as we think about getting away to contemplate the reality of the living Christ for us. Where is such a quiet place for you? Someplace where you connect with God and with yourself. Someplace where your mind can quiet down and your thoughts stop racing. Someplace where you can just be. Remember that verse, be still and know I am God. Where is a place like that for you? Even if you never leave Key West or the Lower Keys in this season, go to that quiet, calm place where your spirit is at rest. My mother was blind for the last 8 years of her life. They were very hard years for our family. Not too many years before she died, she told me that she continued to visit the most important and meaningful places to her by memory in her mind's eye. She named three particular ones that were really kind of spiritual touchstones or home places for her. One of them is in the North Georgia mountains on the Appalachian Trail between Woody Gap and Miller Gap, a place she had not been able to visit in more than 25 years, and yet with regularity, in the midst of her grief over her blindness, in the midst of her confusion over why this had happened to her, she would visit that high mountain and find rest for her soul. Do you have a place like that where your spirit can be at peace? Sometimes we need a quiet place, and sometimes we have a quiet place and we fill up the quiet. We rush to escape this spacious feeling of emptiness because we're afraid that empty is the same as non-existent. But emptiness and nothingness are not the same. But maybe we rush to fill the silence because we haven't made friends with the presence of absence. Maybe because it seems too much, this quiet. Maybe because we are afraid. Peter, James, and John were afraid. Beholding, experiencing, seeing Jesus in a new way. They weren't sure what to do. Should we just stay right here from now on this mountain? Should we build dwellings for Jesus and Moses and Elijah? When they heard the voice of God from inside a radiant cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." They were overcome with fear. They fell down on the ground. And Jesus came to each of them, and this is only in Matthew's telling of the transfiguration. Jesus came to each of them where they were and touched them and said, "Get up and don't be afraid." On that high mountain, Peter, James, and John see Jesus face shining, his clothing dazzling white, and they see him between Moses and Elijah. This is the trans part of the transfiguration. Trans is the English prefix meaning across, beyond, or through. As Dr. Alexander John Shire reminded us during his visit here last month, only Jesus the Christ is able to perfectly hold in tension Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, the rules and regulations, and the compassionate activity needed outside the rules. Moses and Elijah. In this way, between them, our Savior is a trans Savior. As we seek to emulate Jesus, to grow up into the full measure of Christ, we seek to live robustly in the creative tension between Moses and Elijah. We seek to live across, beyond, and through the law and the prophets. We will never do it perfectly, but as we follow Jesus, we can, by God's grace, do it more or less well. Lent invites us to be honest about where we are doing that pretty well, living between those two, and be honest about where we are not doing it well and where we need to change things. Where we need to amend our lives, as we often say in our tradition. As Peter says in his letter, we do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. For the day is dawning, dear ones, and the morning star is rising. And we are invited to join God's new day. Let's say yes. Amen.